That case a few months back with the student at State University,
Yeah.
the one that ended up in the hospital after that fraternity thing,
Right.
hazing.
Right, right.
And the university was like, oh, we didn't know anything about it. Off campus, not our problem.
Mm.
It really got me thinking, though, like, where's the line? How far does a college's responsibility for its students actually go?
It's a good question, and honestly, it's one that the law has grappled with for a long time.
Well, it turns out there's this case, kind of a landmark one, that really set the stage for this whole debate.
Oh, yeah.
Hagel v. Langsam, 1971. And the story behind it, let me tell you, wilder than you might think.
I'm intrigued already. What's so wild about it?
We'll get to that. But the thing about Hagel v. Langsam is it brings up all these questions that are still relevant today, even more so now, right?
Absolutely. Especially now with, all the concern about student safety, mental health, it's a whole different world.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to do in this deep dive, kind of unpack all of that. Starting with the case itself, we've got court documents,
Okay.
some analyses, the legal kind, to really dig in.
Sounds good.
Okay, so picture this. 1971, University of Cincinnati.
Oh, right.
A 17-year-old student goes missing
Oh, wow.
for 8 days. 8 days. And the university, they don't tell her parents right away.
Seriously, 8 days is a long time. What happened?
Well, things get even more complicated.
Okay.
She turns up, and she's caught up in this whole drug thing.
Oh, no.
And there were even accusations, about kidnapping. But those charges, they got dropped later.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so the parents, understandably, they were furious.
I can imagine.
So they sue the university for negligence, right? They said the school had this duty to protect their daughter, especially since, well, she was a minor.
Makes sense. They were her guardians, basically, in their eyes.
Right. But here's where it gets crazy. The university, they won.
They won, but how?
Before it even went to a full trial,
Wait, seriously, how is that even possible?
they did this thing called a motion for judgment on the pleadings.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that. It basically means even if everything the other side says is true, their case is like legally weak, doesn't even deserve a trial.
Exactly. And the court agreed.
Wow. So the parents didn't even get a chance to really present their case. What was the university's defense? What was so strong about it?
Okay, so basically their argument boiled down to this. A university is a place for learning, not a replacement for parents.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
The court even said, get this, neither a nursery school nor a prison.
Ooh, strong words.
I mean, I get the point, but come on, she was 17. Still a minor, right? Did the court even think about that?
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so what they focused on was her status as a student.
A student, more than her age.
Exactly. Their reasoning was by enrolling in college, even though she was underage, it changes things.
Interesting.
It's like you step onto a college campus and bam, there's this expectation. You're more independent. You're responsible for yourself more than in high school.
I see. So it's almost like enrollment, not just turning 18 or whatever, is what flips the switch.
Yeah, and it's a big question, right? Like, how much does age really matter on a college campus? It's kind of a gray area.
It is. A lot of people would probably say it should matter more.
Right. But legally speaking, at least according to Hagel, universities aren't automatically liable for students' personal choices. Unless there's a super specific legal duty, like hazing or safety issues that happen on campus.
Gotcha. That's where it gets tricky, though, figuring out where that line is.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to dig into
So,
next.
yeah, it definitely creates the situation where, legally speaking, there's a lot of emphasis on student independence
Right.
and less on the university, being accountable. But I do want to be clear, Hagel v. Langsam, it didn't say universities can just totally wash their hands of everything.
Okay, good. Because that would be kind of a nightmare scenario.
Exactly. There's still responsibility, especially for things that happen on their property.
Right, makes sense.
And any situation where there's like a very specific legal obligation, hazing, for instance, that's a big one.
Right, so it's not like colleges get a free pass to just ignore everything.
Definitely not. But it does raise the question, where do we draw those boundaries?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is, and it's tough. Can you think of like a situation where a university might be held responsible for something that happened off campus? Just to get a better feel for it.
That's a good one. Let me think. Okay, what if a student reports like being stalked
Okay, yeah.
by another student, I mean, to the university formally? But the university doesn't do anything about it.
Right.
And then something happens to that student off campus because of it.
That's a really good example. Because in that case, you could argue the university, they knew about a potential threat, right?
Yeah, they were told.
And they didn't take reasonable steps to stop it. So, yeah, they could be held liable.
So it sounds like it all hinges on whether the university knew there was a problem and just decided to ignore it?
Yeah, pretty much. It comes down to negligence. Did they have a duty to act, and did they drop the ball?
Interesting. You know, thinking about this case, it makes me think of all those news stories about, you know, universities getting sued for how they handle sexual assault cases. Mm. Those are all over the place. Would you say those cases also fall under this duty to act thing?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. If a university, let's say they know there's a pattern of sexual assault in a specific dorm or a fraternity, whatever, and they don't do anything to address it, that's a huge problem because they have a duty to provide a safe environment.
Right.
And if they fail, they can be held liable on or off campus. Doesn't matter.
So even though Hagel v. Langsam was all about this idea that students are autonomous.
Right.
It's not a blank check for universities to just look the other way when there are serious issues happening, especially when it's like a pattern of harm, you know?
Exactly. It's about finding that middle ground. Individual freedom, yeah, that's important. But the institution also has to take responsibility. And that's a debate that keeps going, you know? Every time there's a new case, it pushes those boundaries.
It's like a constant tug of war, almost.
In a way, yeah. And honestly, it makes you wonder, if this case, Hagel, went to court today, with all the things we know now about mental health, the pressures on students, would it be different?
Right, because back then, that wasn't really on people's radar as much.
Right. It's hard to say for sure, but it's definitely a question worth thinking about. What is clear, though, is that Hagel v. Langsam set a precedent.
And that precedent's still in effect today.
Yep. And it's one that, frankly, everyone should know about. Lawyers, obviously, but also students, parents, anyone involved with college.
It's interesting. I keep thinking back to that line from the court about the university not being a nursery school or a prison.
Yeah, it's a powerful image.
It really does emphasize that students need to be free to make their own choices, right? To learn and grow. But it also makes you ask, what happens when those choices go wrong? What happens when someone gets hurt?
Right, where's the safety net? That's the big question. And it's one that goes beyond just the legal stuff. It's about, you know, society as a whole. How do we protect people without taking away their freedom? That's the real challenge.
It's almost like we started with a deep dive into a legal case, and now we're doing a deep dive into, like, the whole purpose of higher education.
It's true, because Hagel might have settled the legal question in that specific context.
Right.
But it didn't really answer all the ethical, the social stuff about how to actually support students, make sure they're okay.
Yeah, because college is so much more than just, you know, academics and passing exams.
Exactly. It's about becoming an adult, figuring out who you are. And that's messy, right? There are going to be mistakes.
So if we're talking about takeaways for students, parents, universities, what should they be thinking about after this, after we finish this deep dive?
I think the biggest thing is just awareness. Students need to know their rights, but also what they're responsible for. And they need to know it's okay to ask for help.
And parents?
They need to understand that, look, universities aren't going to be watching over their kids every second.
Right.
So they need to talk to their kids about making good choices, being responsible.
And what about the universities themselves? What's their part in all this?
They need to step up, create resources, support systems, and be upfront about their policies, what they expect from students.
Transparency is key.
It really is. It's about building a campus where students feel safe, where they know they can come forward if something's wrong. Even if the law doesn't say they have to, it's just the right thing to do.
It sounds like we've gone way beyond just talking about one court case. This is a much bigger conversation, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. And it's one that needs to happen. Where do we draw that line between letting students be free and making sure they're not putting themselves in danger? That's going to shape the future of how colleges work, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. And it's definitely given me a new perspective on all those lawsuits we see in the news.
Me too. And hopefully it's done the same for our listeners.
You know, it just occurred to me as we're talking about all this, there's this other legal thing, assumption of risk.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could argue, right, that college students, just by being in that environment, they're kind of agreeing to take on a certain amount of risk with their choices.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge part of it, legally speaking, assumption of risk. Basically, it means if you willingly do something risky, something with known dangers,
right,
you can't turn around and sue later if you get hurt.
Okay, that makes sense.
And college. College is definitely full of risk taking.
No kidding.
Kids are away from home for the first time, making their own decisions, trying things out.
So does that mean universities can just be like, hey, we warned you college was going to be wild. You're on your own now. And they escape any responsibility.
Ah. not so fast. It's not that simple. Assumption of risk, it's complicated. It's not like a get-out-of-jail-free card for universities.
Oh, okay.
It really comes down to the specifics. Like, if there's a hailing ritual and the university knows about it,
right,
and they do nothing to stop it, they can't just hide behind assumption of risk if someone gets hurt.
I see.
Because they had a responsibility there. They should have protected those students.
So it's like the risk has to be something they couldn't have foreseen or prevented.
Exactly. Foreseeable and preventable. That's the key. And that's where it gets tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because where does individual responsibility end and where does the university's duty begin?
It's blurry.
Very blurry. Courts look at all sorts of things. The student's age, what they were doing, did the university know about it, what steps did they take, if any. It's a lot to untangle.
Okay, so let's say, just hypothetically, a student does something crazy off campus, like decides to climb a radio tower in the middle of the night.
Okay, I like it. Keep going.
Falls, gets hurt. Is the university on the hook for that?
That's a good one, because it shows how tricky this can be. In that case, you'd have to ask, did the university encourage that? Did they know the student was planning to do it?
Right.
And if the answer is no, then probably not. The student assumed the risk. It was their choice.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if the student had like a mental health issue? Something that might have affected their judgment. Does that change anything?
Ooh, now we're getting into even deeper water. Because if the university knew about the mental health stuff,
yeah,
their obligation to step in to maybe do something, it might be higher. Even for things happening off campus.
I see.
The problem is proving it. Proving that the university knew enough and that what they did or didn't do actually led to the student getting hurt. That's hard.
It's all about evidence, right?
It is. And legal arguments about foreseeability and causation and all that.
It's a lot. It feels like every time we answer a question, five more pop up.
Right. Welcome to the law. It's rarely a simple yes or no. And these cases where it's about student freedom versus what the university's supposed to do,
yeah,
they're some of the toughest ones out there.
So after all this, is there even an answer, like a clear line? When is a university responsible and when's it all on the student?
Sadly, no, there isn't. It's case by case. Every situation's different. But the big takeaway from Hegel and all the cases that came after,
yeah,
the law generally sides with individual responsibility. So usually it's on the student or their family to prove that the university messed up, that they had a duty and they didn't fulfill it.
So what's the bottom line for our listeners? I mean, what should they be taking away from all this?
Be informed. That's the biggest thing. Know your rights, know what you're responsible for, whether you're a student or a parent, and understand that universities, they're not your mom and dad, but they're not off the hook completely either.
It's finding that balance, right?
Exactly. And one more thing, be proactive. If you see something that seems wrong, say something. Don't wait for someone else to fix it.
Good advice. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from Hegel v. Mangum itself to like the big picture stuff about what a university's role is in the world.
And I think it's a conversation that needs to keep going. As things change, technology, all the pressures students are dealing with, we need to keep asking those questions about freedom, responsibility, how to keep people safe without, you know, locking them in a cage.
It's been really eye-opening, for sure. So to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of student autonomy and university responsibility. It's complicated, but it's important stuff.
It is. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp. And remember, knowledge is power, but knowing how to use it, that's what really matters.